Okay, so welcome to our very first NWSL season preview show. Once again, following on from last year, we will be looking at the 10 clubs that will be featuring in the 2016 campaign. And on this occasion, I'm joined by my colleague, someone I'm glad and pleased to call my colleague at Equaliser Soccer, Dan Laletta, who will be joining me throughout the week and a half that we'll be doing these shows. Dan, how are you, mate?
I'm doing well. Very excited for the season. Thanks for having me on.
Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. And I'm also very, very excited. So, much like we did last year, we're going to go through the clubs alphabetically, which means that we will start the look at the clubs with the Boston Breakers. Now, a club that's had a massive overhaul in the off-season. Dan, new head coach, a number of new players. When you look at where they are now compared to where they were at the end of last season, what do you think are the major things that could see them have a good year this year?
Well, obviously, you're more familiar with the head coach than I am, as he came at Beard came from KWSL. But I like what he did with the team. I don't think that it's a finished product yet, but I like the fact that he added some players with bite in the midfield. I thought that the trade for Farrelly and Zerboni, it might not have been a trade at the time. It was the number two pick. It's maybe it wasn't a trade where you say, oh, wow, we're getting Sinead Farrelly and McCall Zerboni. But considering it was a coach that is probably not particularly familiar with the U.S. college system, they weren't going to get the number one pick. And it looked like this was a draft where there was one player, Emily Sonnet, and then a little bit of a drop-off to the rest of the players. I thought it was a good move to get players in who will make them more difficult to play against. I remember talking to Laura Harvey after Seattle's disaster in 2013, and they had added all these attacking players for 2014, and she kept telling me the key is we have to be more difficult to play against. And if you remember, that 2013 club never had a clean sheet, and they came out in 2014, ironically, I think it was against Boston, game number one, shutout, and that set the tone for them. They became difficult to play against, and they still are. So I think the Breakers are still going to struggle to put good attack together. And I think most teams in the league got better, so it will overall be pretty difficult. But I think they'll be a lot more difficult to break down. And if they can start there, they can gradually build up a club over this year, maybe 2 years, where they can actually start to contend.
Yeah, and I'd agree with that. I think I'm writing a preview on the Breakers for Equaliser Soccer, and I've started to write that already, and it may well be out by the time this show comes out. But one of the things I've mentioned in that piece is, For me, the acquisitions of Sinead Farrelly and McCall Zerboni were really key in adding some steel to that team to complement the more creative players that they've got, the likes of Steph McCaffrey, Christy Mewis, Louise Shilgard, who we'll talk about in a second. I think last year they were a little bit vulnerable, maybe a little bit naive in certain areas of the field, and Farrelly and Zerboni will certainly add some experience as much as steel to that midfield.
An interesting decision was when they traded back up to the number three pick, which is that's the ultimate weird trade in the history of this league, because it was for the top allocation pick, which was maybe going to be Mallory Pugh. But either way, Boston got that number three pick, and I thought it was a good opportunity to maybe take an attacking player. Instead, they went with Kristen Westfall, who is more of a defensive-minded player. And I thought from a need perspective, they maybe should have gone attack, because I thought McCaffrey had a very good rookie season. The coach at times, Tom Durkin, didn't seem as pleased with her as some others, but she did get herself into the national team mix, probably outside looking in for Rio at this point, but at least she got her name out there. Kaia Simon has had her moments. She hasn't shown that she can consistently score at this level yet. So I thought the Westfall pick was an interesting pick, because I thought maybe they were a little bit more solid in the back. But again, when you're making the number three overall pick, you're probably doing that more for the long term. And this is the first time, this is, as you're doing these previews, Kieran, fourth NWSL season, that's a big deal when the other two leagues in the U.S. folded after three seasons. And many coaches have told me we can finally really start thinking a year, two, three down the road, because we're pretty confident we're going to be here. Whereas in the past, it was, you got to win now, because the league might not be here next year. So, let's do our best to win the title right now.
Yeah, a really good point that you've made there with the fact that this will be the fourth edition of the NWSL, with the WPS and WUSA folding after three seasons previously. This is obviously a big step and an indication of how the game is growing and progressing. So you're right, teams can look a little bit further ahead. And I look at a player like Kristen Westphal. I had a chance to speak to her at the draft, and I know you were there with me as well. And I managed to speak to Matt Beard about why he decided to go with a defensive-minded player over someone like a Mackenzie Donjek, who was a forward player that was expected to go high up in the draft. She ended up going to Western New York. And I know that he said to me that he wanted to make the team more solid, and he wanted to try and build more of a foundation. And like you said earlier, make them hard to beat. You know, he's brought in Whitney Engen as well. He traded away a very popular player in Alyssa Nair, essentially a cult hero at Boston. You know, one of those players that supporters could go and cheer on, a well-known face in the US women's national team. And he made the brave decision to actually trade her away to get Whitney Engen in, a player that he knows well from his days at Liverpool Ladies. And I think that that was key. And bringing in Libby Stout, if you look at Libby Stout, I would be the first to admit, not at the same level as Alyssa Nair, but trading away Nair to get Engen for me was quite a smart move, if not an unpopular one amongst some.
And it wasn't, you know, you can't look at it as Nair versus Stout. You have to look at it as Stout and Engen against Nair.
Exactly.
And whatever other central defender would have been in there. And
exactly.
I thought their central defense was actually okay last season, but Engen obviously is an upgrade. She probably makes Rio, if nothing else, as an alternate, so they will have to fill in for her at some point. But I don't know a lot about Stout as a player. You would know more about Stout than me, but I thought getting Engen in there and making that back line solid, I think you can justify moving Alyssa Nair on. And also, you know, Nair faced so many shots over the last several years, and she did a wonderful job with them. She was actually goalkeeper of the year with a goals against average north of 2 a couple of years ago. But, you know, maybe it was a good idea to get somebody fresh in there for the fresh start defensively.
You mentioned earlier the issues that they might have going forward. We already mentioned the fact that they didn't decide to go with an attacking player early on in the draft. They have what they have. They have Kaya Simon, who, like Whitney Engen, will likely be away for a period of time with Australia at the Olympics. They have players like Morgan Marlborough. They have Steph McCaffrey. Do we foresee then that potentially being the area of weakness, that potentially goals, they've sorted out the defence, they've sorted out building a very strong base in terms of being hard to beat, but could they potentially find an issue with beating opposition teams when they're not in a position where they can score a lot of goals?
Yeah, I think that will most likely be the biggest issue for the Breakers this season. We'll see how Shilgard adapts to being here. Zerboni can play a number of different roles within the midfield, so we'll see how much of an attacking presence she has. One thing about McCaffrey is that I was most impressed last year with how McCaffrey was able to hold the ball up, especially for a rookie. But when she did it, it didn't seem like there was a lot else going for the team. So she could hold the ball up all day, but nothing would ever really come of it. And when the defense is better, then that can allow more players to get forward and into the attack. But the wild card to me, 100%, is Christy Mewis. Because remember when Mewis was the number 3 pick overall behind Bywaters and McCarty in the first draft, and everyone thought that Kansas City got an absolute steal, and it played out that way for much of that first season. But I'm not sure Mewis has taken enough steps forward since that first season in Kansas City. And I'm wondering what her role is under Matt Beard, because at one point she was a player that was a speedy player on the flank. She even played a little in back in Kansas City. Last year she was kind of like a withdrawn forward and was a little bit all over the place and scored a bunch of goals for them, but didn't do it in the same, you know, in the fashion that a traditional goal scorer would do it. So can Matt Beard take Christy Mewis and maximize her effectiveness and allow her to bring other players and make them a little bit better? I'm very curious how he decides to deploy Mewis once the real game starts.
Yeah, agreed. And I think Christy has all the talent to be a big player in that side. And I think she has almost been the face of that franchise, especially last year when they lost a number of players over the last couple of years prior to that. But I think you're right. I think the question Matt Beard has to ask himself is, where can I get the best out of Christy in terms of where I put her on the field? And Louise Shilgard, Liverpool Ladies fans will know her better as Louise Fors. Matt's been able to convince her to come out of retirement, and what he did at Liverpool is that he played Luiz in a on a wide left kind of position in a front three. He had Luiz on the left, he had Nicole Rolster on the right, and Natasha Dowie through the middle. If he looks to go with a similar formation for Boston, then you could potentially see Luiz wide left, maybe a Kaya Simon through the middle, and Steph McCaffrey wide right, which that would then mean, would Christy be playing in a more midfield role, or could she possibly go into a left back position? I guess that's the question that he's got to figure out. But in terms of where you said earlier you still think Boston could struggle, do you, I mean, they finished rock bottom last year, so there's nowhere for them to go down, but in terms of
there was nothing accidental about that. They were the worst team by a wide margin last year.
They were, absolutely. And when I say there's nowhere to go down, the only way is up. Therefore, can we see Boston improving on last year and not taking home the wooden spoon again?
Well, if they, you know, it's the theme we've been going over since we started here, but if they can be more difficult to play against, then you'll see them scrap out results. Because, as you know, if you can stalemate a team at 0-0 or even 1-1, all you need is a quick little break or one thing to go your way or to draw a fortuitous penalty kick, and all of a sudden you can take a game where maybe you were outplayed for most of the game, but all of a sudden you have 3 points. And I think the key will be early on in the season is to just make sure that they're not getting lit up, because the breakers of the last two seasons that Tom Durkin was the head coach, they just had so much going against them from a defensive standpoint. So that even in games, there was a Seattle game in Boston, first game, it was during the World Cup, but it was the first game back after the World Cup break. And they had Seattle beat in that game for a large majority of that game, but they just couldn't keep the rain off their back line and off of, I guess it was Jamie Cranach in goal with Neyer at the World Cup. And they need to just be able to take 10, 15-minute portions of the game. And even if they're not controlling the game, stalemate it in the midfield and don't let the other team just constantly bombard them, because that eventually erodes your confidence. And if you look at the roster, not only is it better and a little bit chippier, but they've got some depth players now. Rachel Wood is somebody that can come in and spell somebody on the back line or help kill off a game. I would guess Angela Salem at this point is not a first 11 player, but she can and help kill a game. Stephanie Verdoya was okay at times as a rookie. She's got another year under her belt. So I think they've got a little bit more depth. Last year when the regular players were either injured or tired or what have you, they had absolutely no reserves on the bench to go to. And they've already become a lot deeper. I'm not sure they get off the bottom of the league, because I do think everybody's gotten better, but they will be a lot more respectable.
So over the course of the week, we'll pick out a player each from each team to keep an eye on this season. So who's your player for Boston that you think fans should keep an eye on?
Well, if we're, you know, traditionally speaking, I'm interested to see how McCaffrey and Simon both play up top. You know, McCaffrey, as we said, I thought she did a lot of things that are unusual for a rookie. She could hold the ball up. She could take players one-on-one. She could score a little bit. And that's unusual for a player that young. Simon was coming off the injury last year, but I thought she was pretty good in the World Cup. I think she has a chance to be real good. But the player on the Breakers that could be the key to their entire team is Cassie Kallman. She was a draft pick for FC Kansas City in 2014 and helped them when they were a team with a lot more transition than they probably are remembered for. She helped stabilize their back line by playing left back. Then Boston sent Heather O'Reilly to Kansas City for Kallman. I think she has an opportunity to really help stabilize that back four, especially at the times when Engen is not there. So Kallman is not a flashy player because she's a defender, but I think she could wind up being their most important player.
Yeah, I think it's amazing that it's taken us this long into the show to mention Cassie Kallman. I think she's a good player. I think it was a great pickup from FC Kansas City last year, and she will once again be really vital to that team. I guess the player that I'm interested to see and want to keep an eye on is, we've mentioned her, Louise Schilgard. She was very, very competent for Liverpool Ladies, played a big part in helping them win the WSL title, and she's been convinced to come out of retirement. But what's interesting is that she hasn't played football for a little while. She's obviously had a pre-season under her belt, belt with Boston, but since retiring she went and got married, and you were pretty convinced that she wasn't going to play again. But fair play to her. Be interesting to see how she copes in the NWSL and what impact she can have on that team. But Dan, good opportunity for us to go into our interview, and I managed to catch up with two individuals that I've seen a lot of over the last couple of years. Goalkeeper Libby Stout and coach Matt Beard, as we've mentioned, moved over from Liverpool Ladies, so a good opportunity for me to catch up with them, see how they're settling into their new surroundings and their hopes for the new season. So here they are. Okay, so for this NWSL preview interview with the Boston Breakers, I'm delighted to be joined by two former faces of the FAWSL, Libby Stout, goalkeeper Libby Stout, and head coach Matt Beard. Guys, how you doing?
Yeah, doing well, thanks.
Good, thank you.
Excellent, excellent. Guys, well, Libby, I'll start with you very quickly. New to the Boston area, new to the club. Mm-hmm. How have you settled in? How have your teammates received you? And is Matt looking after you as well as he did in Liverpool?
Yeah, I'm doing quite well. It's been really nice to kind of come back to the States. And, you know, it is home for me, although I am quite far from my actual hometown. But it's definitely familiar for me to be back in the States. And it's really comforting to be close to the family and be in the same time zone is nice as well. And, yeah, everything's going quite well, getting settled in here and getting back into playing some football because we've kind of been off, you know, since the FAWSL's finished last year. So, just looking really forward to starting up this season. And, you know, it's obviously nice to have familiar face in Matt and see him work his magic here. So, yeah, it's been good.
I like how you called it football there and not soccer. That time in England certainly wore off when you're there, Libby.
Yeah.
Matt, I mean, we spoke at the NSCAA convention in Baltimore. You had only just arrived at the club. You've had a few months to assess what you've got. You've had some pre-season friendlies. What's your feelings going into the season now that you've had a chance to look at what's available to you and what you've got going forward?
It's been an eye opener. I have to say that, you know, the pre-season out here is completely different to back in Europe. But I've taken this 2 weeks, and especially the Florida trip, just to assess the group really and test one or two players. I think that's been important for me, to look at players in different circumstances and you know, test their character. I've got a good idea of the group now, and now that we're back and we have to trim the squad down to 20 by the end of this week, then, you know, for me now the real work starts in the preparation for Washington.
And when we spoke, you said that one of the things you really wanted to do was to try and make the team hard to beat. I know that you've concentrated on really shoring up the back line. You've brought in another face that will be familiar to you in Whitney Engen. You've brought in Libby. Do you feel like you've kind of got that foundation now that will make the team a lot more solid than maybe it has been in previous years?
Yeah, I think so. I'm pleased with how we're organised defensively. We've only had 2 weeks. We've been sort of drip feeding bits as we go and working on certain things, but I think the most important thing here is, like any club I ever go to, I work back to front. So as long as we're difficult to beat, then we've always got hope of winning games if we don't concede goals. So you know, we've worked on that considerably. We're starting just to work at the top end of the pitch now, and hopefully by the time we get to Washington we're in a better position, especially at the top end of the pitch. But it's going to take time, and we will, take time for us to gel and get things right, especially at the top end of the pitch. But I'm not really concerned. I'm quite confident with the group that we've got that we can have a good year.
And Libby, you've, along with Matt, you've joined a club. Granted, it wasn't the best season for Liverpool last year, but prior to that, it was back-to-back titles for Liverpool Ladies. You're coming into a club that historically has struggled a little bit in the NWSL. In terms of your mindset and how you approach the season, how is it different to what you had at Liverpool?
I don't know. I mean, I think that I personally am just quite interested in seeing how this league kind of stands up to leagues I've played in previously. And I don't think I necessarily have a different mindset. I think that, like Matt said, we have a really strong group of girls and we've brought in a lot of really strong players. I think on paper we have a really great squad, and I'm, you know, just excited to you know, do better this year than we have done in the past, because I know that we will. And I think it will be just kind of being patient and, you know, getting through the first few games and getting us to fighting form. And I think once we get there, we're going to do really well this year. I think certainly we could probably hope to do better than they have done in the past. I'm just looking forward to putting in good performances and then, you know, kind of working into putting out a good performance every game and buying into what Matt wants us to do. And I think once we get there, we're going to be a good team.
Now, I have to ask the question. You obviously come in replacing quite a popular figure in Alyssa Nair, who's obviously been traded off to Chicago Red Stars. How much pressure does that put on you? And you mentioned your intrigue into this league. What are the early noticeable differences you've noticed with the squad that you have in Boston to the one you had in Liverpool?
Alyssa did great here, and she's done great for herself. And I don't really want to put much pressure on myself. I just want to come in and do my best for the team. And I'm not trying to be compared or anything like that. I just want to take care of my own performances and control what I can control. I think our squad, it looks really good. I'm just really excited, like I said, about the new girls who've come in. And I just think we're going to be a good team and hopefully compete this year and do well and score some goals and not concede goals. So that's what I'm looking for.
Matt, you mentioned earlier that it's going to take a little bit of time for the team to gel and in particular maybe the forward players. The FAWSL is quite a short season. If you don't start well, it's very difficult to make up that ground. Because the NWSL is a longer season, you play more games. Do you feel like you've got a little bit more time to allow the team to have that time to gel and to get used to each other? And regardless of whether you have a good start or not, you've still got that opportunity to, at the end of the season, be up there with the top teams.
Yeah, I'm in a win-win situation. I haven't had two very good years, so if I can come and improve their position over the last 2 years, then, you know, everyone was seeing that as progress. Look, you know me better than anyone, and I'm ambitious and I want to do well, and I'm confident in my ability to get the best out of these players to make sure that they perform to their maximum level, and as a team we will definitely be organised. For me, I know it sounds like a cliche, but, you know, we'll take it, you know, game by game and really month by month and see where, you know, where we are. I mean, I'm intrigued to see how the Olympics affects the league over that period. You know, over that period where the national team players are away. You know, it's not just, you know, the American national team players. You've got the Australians, you've got the Canadians as well. So, you know, you've got a lot of players at different clubs that play out here. So, for me, that's going to be an intriguing period. So, I think for me this year, it's just about, you know, having a good season, and if we can finish mid-table, if we can break into the playoffs, then, you know, that's going to be an achievement. So I'm not putting myself under pressure, I'm not putting the players under pressure. I've got a lot to learn about this league. You know, obviously you know better than anyone, because it's quite interesting reading your tweets when you're staying up at 1-2 in the morning to watch games, you know, being out here on the same, you know, the timeline. I've had an opportunity to watch a national team on a regular basis. I've had an opportunity to, you know, I watched the Portland v Houston game the other night and Seattle v Portland. I've watched the Washington v Penn State game. So it's interesting looking at the different teams, how they play differently, you know. I'm looking forward to the challenge of this league, because it is a good league with some good players in it and athletes in it.
And I guess the question is probably for both of you is, what's the major adjustments that you've had to make? Libby, you've never played in the NWSL before. Matt, you've spent your whole coaching career in England. What are the major adjustments that you've had to make early on?
I think for me, it's been an adjustment to kind of come back to the States after being, you know, 4 seasons away. And my last experience was in college here. And I think that's been an adjustment to me, just to kind of come back to, I think, the American style of play. Because I think I've been a bit spoiled kind of being in England and having seeing football all the time and kind of, you know, kind of really delving into that culture. And I think it's just a bit different here, where it's kind of like, you know, 100 miles per hour all the time and trying to get up a pitch and cross in a ball and then try to go. And then it's just, there's not a lot of, it's just not as patient maybe in working the ball around in the back and everything. So it's been interesting to kind of come back into that and get adjusted back into that. But yeah, that's probably it.
I just think for me, getting to know the league, getting to know the teams that we're playing, and you know, everyone knows about the national team players, but you know, I've seen some games out here with some very talented players in there, and you know, as I go and as I get to know the league and as I get to know the teams that we're playing against, you know, for me it's a whole new learning, a learning experience and learning curve. In England, generally, you knew how a team was going to play, what they was going to do. Very rarely does things change, whereas here. You know, Libby said it's the tempo is a lot quicker. You know, they go from back to front very, very quick out here. Majority teams press high, and so that's going to be interesting. You know, working ways around that, and you know, as I say, for me, just to get to know the league and the opposition, and just prepare our team as best we can for each game.
A final question. Matt, have you taught any of the players any of the Cockney rhyming slang that you would have used during your time maybe managing down south? And Libby, any Scouse that you've managed to retain from your time in Liverpool?
Well, Laura's fluent in Cockney rhyming slang now, so that's good. I say something now and she thinks about it and she gets it, so that's quite good. The players are starting to learn body parts. You know, like Bob Boulder and Bertie, and so we're getting there with it. But no, they've been a good group so far to work with. But it's early days, and Libby's my translator at times.
Yeah, I've been helping people out with the Cockney. it definitely took me a while at the beginning in Liverpool. But yeah, I do. I find myself saying some Scouse things sometime. I think it's like, you know, me like and all that crap. Yeah, it's good though. It's been fun, and I definitely find myself kind of holding on to some English words and phrases for sure.
And chocolate, no doubt, because we all know that the chocolate over here is much better than it is over there, which, Matt, I'm sure you'll learn in time. But look, I really appreciate both your time. I really wish you best, and obviously I'll be following the team over the course of the season, and I'm hoping that you both settle into your new surroundings really quickly. So thanks very much for joining me.
Cheers, mate.
Thank you.
Women's Soccer Zone. Follow the show on Twitter at WOSOZone.
So that was Libby Stout and Matt Beard. Big thanks to them. Wish them well for the first season in the NWSL. And that wraps up our first preview for the 2016 campaign. Big thanks to you, Dan, for giving your time and giving us your insight. Tomorrow we focus on the Chicago Red Stars and we will have an interview with Sofia Huerta. So keep an eye out for that one. Until then, have a good day and bye-bye.